Hello, folks, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Federalist Files. On today's show, I mean, it's the same. The news cycle, unfortunately, has continued to persist on the Israel-Palestine situation. And once again, I kind of am indifferent to both sides. I don't really have a side in this fight. I think that the Palestinian people, the citizens, or the what you would call innocent people. It sucks that innocent people on both sides have to be killed in this like weird impending war. United States has claimed they're gonna. I think it said that they said they were gonna send $10 billion to Israel and then $100 million to Palestine for food or whatever. And people are skeptical of the $100 million to Palestine because most likely it's gonna go to. Just going to go to Hamas at the end of the day. I've also seen the death charts over the years. People that have died, Palestinians that have died compared to Israelis that have died. Those do not look good if you are a Israel shill. Those don't. Let me see, actually. I'm going to actually change my. Well, I'll get up and do it. Hold on.
Change my lighting.
Yeah, usually I don't change the lighting. Because that stupid glare I get from that top there. This is interesting. I'm thinking about maybe live streaming in the future. I'm not really sure, because this thing looks compatible. This new OBS software that I should have been using this entire time. I mean, I did a podcast for a full year without using software. That makes things much easier, because it didn't look this easy when I first pulled it up. But I mean, I can screen capture and all that good stuff, so it is pretty good for that. I don't really have much to speak about. I mean, I can look religiously into, which I've been doing, historically religiously into the two religions, Judaism and Islam. Islam is very interesting because it was founded 600 years after, or I'm sorry, 500 years, 535 years after Christianity was founded. And what it does is it references back to the Old and the New Testament and says God is never wrong, but then says in the Quran that God was wrong about the Old Testament and New Testament, and this is the new, this is the true religion, and the Prophet Muhammad is like the true Messiah kind of thing, which I found to be very interesting. Then I looked into the Talmud, and the Jews were saying that Jesus was a sorcerer and his followers were fools. So that's kind of interesting. There's a bunch of different excerpts from the Talmud that shit all over Jesus Christ and his followers. Interestingly enough, what happened actually to Jesus Christ was that the Jews went to the Romans, and they pretty much ratted Jesus out to the Romans because Jesus was claiming he was the Messiah, he was the king of the Jewish people, as in the people of Judah, where he was born. So when people refer to Jesus as Jewish, he wasn't Jewish in per se his religious following, as people know Judaism to be today. He was what you would call him ethnically Jewish. He was born in Judah. The people that were born of Judah, they were called Jewish. So that's kind of where we got that divide between the Hebrews and the Jews. And now we just call them all the Jews. But like I said, there's definitely some Hebrews that became Christians. So that's why it's kind of weird to make some claim that the Jews are the chosen people when really the Hebrews and the Israelites were the chosen people, not the Jews. So what happens is the Jews went to Rome and said, this guy, Jesus, who we do not believe is the Messiah, is claiming he's the king. Pretty much, you guys have to kill him. Because we don't have the power to enforce that type of verdict. And you, as the Roman kingdom, you guys do have the power to do so. So, I mean, if you really... The claim that the Jews killed Jesus, everyone always says it's not true, the Romans killed Jesus. But, I mean, effectively, the Jews just went to Rome and told them to kill Jesus because they wanted Jesus dead themselves. So, I mean, it's kind of the same thing. It's essentially like they hired a hitman to kill Jesus. I would still kind of, you know, I would still say that they're pretty accountable for Jesus's death, which is no surprise And then they go on to, the rabbis go on to write the Talmud, which is just attacking Jesus the entire time. You know, I fight with a lot of these, like, atheists now, which is really funny, because I used to be an atheist back in, you know, a long time ago. Probably when I graduated college, I was probably the strongest as an atheist. But I was super smart. It's so funny. Because what happens is, in reality, this is what happens. You never run into somebody that has read the scripture, and you think you're smart. You think you're smarter than everybody. You just graduated college. You thought college was super hard. Then you realize college is not difficult. There's a lot of morons that graduated college. There's a lot of morons that did very well in high school as well. I go back and I look at people I went to high school with, and I see what they're doing for a living. And I realize I thought they were very smart, but they're making like $40,000 a year, and they're actually an idiot. And they went to school for 4 years, and they got a degree in psychology, and they owe $150,000 in student loan debt. So you think these people are very smart. You have this grand assumption of who they are. And then you realize they're not. They're not intelligent. So, I mean, it was the same way with me. I was cocky. I wasn't as cocky as militant as some of these atheists are. I was just cocky and I knew what I understood. I thought I knew better. But I wasn't willing to challenge people, right? So, I mean, I run across these atheist arguments all the time. The atheist arguments where they claim that the Bible, religion in general, but in this case, we'll talk about the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Christian faith was founded to control people. It was people controlling other people, right? Which I found that very funny, because if you actually look, it's so funny, because ultimately religion is what helped to free people in Rome. Religion currently in today's day and age, especially Christianity in the United States, Christianity is the number one most hated religion. It is frowned upon to be a Christian. People hate you for being Christian, the militant atheists. They have been tricked by the universities and the media class, as well as the political class, to hate people that are Christians, right? They think you are beneath them because you believe in a tradition from 2,000 plus years ago, a religious book that the Old Testament was in 1200 BC, I believe. So they believe you are trash, essentially. They think they're much smarter than you. It's kind of taught in schools to act that way, I think, in general. The way in which people, like even today, right, in modern culture, everybody's celebrated for the smallest achievements. You knock somebody up, not only are we having baby showers like we used to years ago, we have the quote-unquote gender reveal party as well. There's this new thing called it's not a honeymoon, it's a vacation moon or something, or a baby moon. They're calling it, if you're pregnant, you and your husband go out, as a woman, if you're pregnant, you and your husband go out on a vacation. That's another thing. It's just celebration. I think that people, you know what I think it really actually comes down to? I think people are miserable. I think people work at desks. They hate their day jobs all day. They don't have any other positive hobbies other than drinking and partying with friends, which in excess is a problem, but in moderation isn't really an issue, right? Getting together with friends and family, drinking, hanging out with said friends and family, that's not really the issue. The issue, moreover, is the abundance of it, the excess of it, that being the only hobby. People generally don't really have hobbies anymore. Like, those are the hobbies, those are the things they do for fun. So since they're so miserable in their day job, they're sitting in a cubicle, and they work a sedentary lifestyle, and they live that lifestyle, they are encouraged, or they look forward to the weekends when they can party, hang out with friends, go on vacations. This is literally what people work for. People are working to go on vacations more than ever before in the United States, because people have much more expendable income. People are more willing to go deeper in debt and make not only unrealistic, but just really stupid decisions, irresponsible decisions, right? So because of that, there's always like some sort of big celebration. So we live in this like this self-praising society currently, unfortunately. And people don't want to look in the mirror because of this, right? And when you read the Bible, when you read the holy text, there is a lot of things that you will see, which are you holding yourself accountable, you looking yourself in the mirror. At the end of the day, people in general, we have like a huge accountability problem here in the United States. Like people are praising themselves too much. The fat shaming movement, or the fat empowerment movement, not the fat shaming movement. Like fat shaming is like a very bad, big deal. I actually was just watching this this movie with Bill Burr. It just came out on Netflix today too. And it's called Old Dads. And Bill Burr, you know, he's 50 years old. He's a young kid in this movie. He's got some friends. They're older guys too. It just shows how the world around them is changing. How these new school parents are like these giant pussies, right? And they just don't relate. They're talking about fat shaming. They're talking about white privilege. They're talking about, you know, racism and all this bullshit. And Bill Burr is like just cracking jokes, doing what Bill Burr does. Even though Bill Burr's kind of pussied out during COVID like a bitch. But he's telling jokes in this movie and people are hating on him. He's got like this super liberal principal of his kid's kindergarten class. And he has to kiss her ass because she's going to write a recommendation for him to go on to like the next school, to the next elementary school, you know. And it's just interesting because it's true. Like it's reflective of what is currently transpiring today. You have a bunch of like white liberal parents that suck. They're making their kids weak. And honestly, this next generation after me, I would say this generation may be coming up, they are soft as fuck. And if you teach your kid, if you get your kid to be tough and you can stand behind them and support them and build them up in a positive way, you know, build them up with a good value system and a good self-esteem and tell them that essentially they, as long as they work hard, they will destroy everybody. Your kid's going to be a savage because in today's world, everyone just wants to work for a company. No one wants to own anything. They just want to go and they want to sit in their cubicle and do their 40 hours a week of work. And that's it, you know. And that's all they want to do. And they want to just party on the weekends. Self-aggrandizement, or not self-aggrandizement, self-enlightenment. Self-aggrandizing is making fun of yourself and shitting all over yourself, which I'm very good at doing. But yeah, so that's the society we live in. So that's the reason why people hate religion. Why do they hate religion? They hate religion because they hate the idea of looking in the mirror and actually judging themselves. And like I said, there are things about judgment in the Bible, and I pointed them out last podcast specifically. And yeah, you should be judging yourself harshly, especially as a man. As a man in today's world, you should pretty much just forget the idea of actually feeling happy until you're probably retired and your kids are out of college. In all honesty, it's sad to say that, but that's how hard you have to be in this world. And you need to understand that like the world is genuinely against you as a man, especially in the United States. The United States is 100% against you. We have no-fault divorces where chicks can leave you at any time that they want to for no reason. Take half your shit, and then take half your income for the rest of your life. If they want to, you know. If they never get married again. Which, they purposely will not get married again, just so you have to pay them a paycheck every single fucking week. You know? So that's currently, like, that's the United States of America. The power has completely tipped in the scales of the women. And it's funny because men are the ones that are that we are leading this charge by being such soft faggots and listening to women to begin with. And women are incentivized to act this way because men allow it to happen. In reality, men are the ones that enforce things. Men have the power. They have the strength. Women cannot enforce anything if they wanted to. If there was a nation full of women and it was ran by women only, they would lose instantly in war because in combat they cannot fight. They're not able to they're not able to enforce anything physically. And that's simply what war is, right? So we live in that world currently in the United States. We're soft. We're in the Western, Western values, quote unquote, that initially stem from Christian values, but we are far from it. And I even know this now, which is the saddest part about this is the United States is pushing their influence so often. They're sending so much money to other countries that I will find people. I'm part of these different Discord communities when I invest in crypto, different Discord communities of people from all different countries, all over the world, right? So I'll meet people that are from, you know, Japan, people from South America, people from Germany, like all over the place. And you start to notice that these people in what used to be traditional countries, traditional cultures, people that are Christian, heavily Christian cultures, in South America will be some of the biggest pussies and the biggest Western culture buffs, to the point where you go, I don't even know where you hear this shit. Like, how is it that you hear this American cultural shit? Because that's exactly what it is. They're getting it from America. This crying racism all the time, hating on Christianity in Latin America, the place where, like, everyone is Christian. You know, these are Western culture ideas. These are Western, this is Western culture now. This is what it is evolving into. It's really devolving into complete chaos and moral relativism, which kind of brings me to my next point. Let me check. I did write one thing down, actually, which is funny. So the real world. This is so funny. Real World Season 12. I turn on Netflix. I see The Real World's on there. I remember watching it when I was like a fucking kid. I was in high school. If any of you are not familiar, The Real World is... they get a bunch of random young kids that just turned like 21 years old, and they all go and they live in a house or apartment together, and it's usually like in a big city, or it's near like Las Vegas or something, somewhere where they can go party every single day. And they get like half-assed jobs while they're there, and they act like they're working and living there, and it's this real, you know, atmosphere, this real world, there's real drama, people are getting drunk, people are fighting each other. It's interesting, people want to watch it, right? People are having sex inside the... In the hotel room or whatever, where they're all staying. So in this one, they're in Las Vegas specifically. And, I mean, I'm sitting here watching, I go, season 12, 2002. I mean, how fucking bad could this shit be? Because at this point, I was like 10 years old. You know, 10 years old. So I'm thinking, you know, our culture is so fucking wrecked right now, right? How bad could these, like, kids in their young 20s be? And I think, for a reason, the director probably chooses, like, these crazy anomaly characters, obviously. But the first thing that happens, it's like as soon as everybody gets in, I mean, they have them, you know how they're showing the scene, they're showing what's happening, then they show a cut scene where the person's in their confession or whatever, and they're having these little side interviews, and they talk about the situation or what's going on, and how they felt in that moment, whatever. You know, that's what makes these reality TV shows so popular, I guess. And it was like as soon as it started, it's just chicks talking about fucking. Like, as soon as it starts, it's guys being like, yeah, man, that chick's hot, you know, whatever. And then the chicks are like, yeah, man, I like that guy, he's cute, whatever. I haven't had sex much, I want to fuck. Like chicks just saying, like, rancid shit, you know? Like, shit that you would find unattractive. You don't want to hear some chick say, I want to fuck. Like, shit grosses you out. If you don't have, like, an instant repulsive feeling when you hear some random chick that's sober yelling that shit, then I don't know what the then there's something wrong with your brain. You need to get checked the fuck out. It's just weird, you know? It's not normal. Guys, it's more normal. Guys are kind of honest. The physical part means a lot more for men than it does for women. Women, it's much more emotional, right? The attraction. But for guys, I mean, for these chicks to say this, and then one girl walks in and she's like, oh my God, I'm so jealous of everybody. These girls are so much cuter than me. I'm so worried. I'm not going to sleep with anyone when I'm here. It's very weird. Like, it was so centralized around fucking, right? Like, this show, they made it so centralized from the get-go about, like, hooking up and fucking. And then one chick comes in, she has an open relationship, which is in 2002, this chick has a fucking open relationship. It's crazy to me. You know, and, I mean, this is 20, we're talking 20 years ago, right? So, if you think about it, 20 years ago, these people were, let's say, 21 years old. Okay, now they're 41, 42. They are now the people that are raising the kids that are maybe in their teens right now. You have to really think about this. Like, these are the people. And yeah, they were 21, 22. I mean, when I was 21, 22 years old, I was a total outlier. I was not saying anything like that. And that's probably why they never had me on reality TV shows. I remember there was one I think I signed up for with my sister. We both signed up for. I can't remember what it was. Just for like shits and giggles. I was like, yo, this would be crazy if we got thrown on the show, you know? And it wasn't like a brother-sister show or anything. We just both kind of put in an application for it. But yeah, you got to think, these are the people, these degenerate people that were getting fucked up. Like the one chick had an open relationship, then she was sleeping with one guy, but then the one guy would go and sleep with other chicks on other nights, but then she was mad about it. But it's like, you yourself are in an open relationship, like, you have no, it's very weird, like, you have no ownership or you have no authority over that guy over there. It's very, very odd to me. Doesn't really make much sense, but that's the way that show is fucking... I mean, it's just, it's weird, and you could tell some people have higher standards than others. There was two people, it was a guy and a girl, probably the two best-looking people in the house. They were just having sex, like, every single night, but they also weren't together. The guy wanted to see her sleep with other guys, and then she would go sleep with another guy, and then he would get jealous, and then he would try to walk up to a girl at the bar and spit some game, and then she would get jealous, and she'd come in and cock-block him. I mean, the whole thing, it is just, like, degenerate. You just get to see the real animalistic instinct of man and woman, and no one really understands it, and they try to detach themselves to their emotions that are intertwined with their impulsive nature, biological nature, right? A guy doesn't want his chick that he slept with going up and talking to a bunch of dudes and sleeping with a bunch of other dudes, as a chick doesn't want their guy to be doing the same thing, right? And they don't really understand it, which is so funny. And they try to act like they're above it the entire time, but they all secretly have crushes on each other. So the whole thing was it's very weird. But the whole point is, those are the people that are currently, raising children now. Thinking these people were okay, they're fucking degenerates, and now those people, like, straight up getting hammered every single night, doing stupid shit, getting in fights with people at the club. Like, that's not things that I did. I mean, some of you folks listening, I'm sure maybe some of you are older. That would make sense to me if this shit was, like, the 70s and 80s. Well, that was, like, the more badass time where you can get in a fight and everyone kind of just, like, shook hands at the end and left and the cop didn't arrest anybody. But in today's day and age, you get arrested for fucking anything. I mean, it's ridiculous. There's cameras all over the place. I'll tell you right now, if there weren't cameras all over the place, things would be very, very different. I think that people would actually respect each other much more, because there's a chance of you getting your ass kicked, and then you in turn having zero chance of suing in result, and you just have to take the ass beating like a man. You know, I felt like it was a much more respectable society, like the 70s, 80s, 90s type of period. I think the 90s, honestly, like the best era where... There's enough technology to make things comfortable, but there's not too much technology where people, like, don't leave their house, and they sit at home all day watching Netflix or playing video games, watching porn. And also, everybody got along very well, I felt like. Like, race-wise, everybody was pretty good, and people were, like, you know, not committing. Early to mid-90s, people were committing crime. Maybe I would say, like, maybe the early 2000s, when things calmed down a lot more. And living conditions bettered in the United States. But the whole point is that I was trying to make is that you have people that say the Bible isn't real. Holy Spirit's not real. Because essentially they're saying the man wrote it. Therefore, God did not speak to man. The whole point is that the Holy Spirit spoke to man, and the man wrote what the Holy Spirit told him. The Holy Spirit is God. This is part of the Trinity. You have God, you have Jesus, and you have the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, that saying when you go into church, right, if you're a Christian. So you could claim, I'll find it, Old Testament tells of Jesus coming. So the thing is, people will claim, they'll make their claims that, you know, it was made by man, this, that, the other thing. The one problem that you run into when you make that claim is, how is it that this Bible, this Old Testament, or even the New Testament, how is it that it can tell the future if it was written by man and not written by God, or you know, stated by God, written by man? You know what I'm saying? So there's tons of actual evidence of this if you look at it. I hate when my computer runs super loud, because then I think it gets picked up on the audio, but there's really nothing I can do about it, unfortunately. So the Old Testament, which is a collection of religious texts sacred to both Judaism and Christianity, contains various prophecies and foreshadowings that are interpreted by Christians as referring to the coming of Jesus Christ. So you got Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. End quote. So Emmanuel meaning of God, I believe, is or being of God or something. That's what it means in their language, in the Hebrew language or Aramaic at the time. So that itself is a prophecy about Jesus being born, right? The Virgin Mary giving birth to Jesus, right? Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace," end quote. This verse is often interpreted as a prophecy about the coming Messiah, who Christians believe is Jesus. Yeah, this is, you know, he claimed he was the king of Judah, right? Like I said earlier. Micah 5:2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." Now, this verse is linked to the birthplace of Jesus as Bethlehem, and that's where he was believed to have been born, in Judah, right? It's so funny, because like you just keep looking, and all I did here is I searched prophecies about Jesus, I think, in the Old Testament. I'm just talking about Jesus alone. So Psalm 22 describes suffering individual who experiences are seen by many Christians as foreshadowing to the crucifixion of Christ. And Isaiah 53 is the chapter that often referred to as the suffering servant passage and is widely seen as a prophecy of the suffering and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And there's also something as well that's written in the Old Testament. I can't remember the name. My friend sent it to me the other day. And it talks about two different lamb, I believe. And one of them becomes one, or two goats. One of them is a scapegoat, and one of them isn't. And it was about Babareth, I think his name was, or Babaris. Once Jesus came, there was Jesus and there was Babaris, and they had both of these guys, and one of them was to be let go, and the other one was to be crucified. What happened, obviously, is Jesus was a scapegoat. He got crucified, and Babaris got let go. Just like was said before with the goats in the Old Testament times. I wish I can remember that one off the top of my head. Let me see if I can find it. Ah, I didn't type it right. Barabbas, I'm sorry, Barabbas. And that's in the New Testament, but I want to see it from the Old Testament. Let's see if I can find it. It is amazing. And this is just referring to Jesus. This isn't even referring to anyone else that it lines up. Oh, the story doesn't... I'm not going to be able to find it. But my friend sent it to me like 2 days ago, I think. And I remember reading it and going, wow. It's where the Bible tells the future. I just love, like... So, you have these... You have these, like, atheists, and, you know, as I was an atheist, it's very easy to debunk the atheist argument because I know most of them, right? So the claims and the statements of the atheists, oh, let's see. The Old Testament contained numerous prophecies about the Messiah, and it's the ones I was saying before. Daniel's prophecies, the book of Daniel, particularly chapter 7 to 12, tell prophecies about future events, including the rise and fall of empires, the appearance of a son of man, and the end times. Son of man, I'm assuming, is probably about Jesus. But the book of Revelation is the final book of the New Testament. It's an apocalyptic vision, prophecy, which this is, if you ever hear Christians refer to, the very end is near. That is kind of the book of Revelations, that the return of Jesus, and he's going to pretty much reign hell over everybody, and good will triumph over evil. Pretty much the believers will be taken by Jesus, they will be spared, and everybody else will have to face his wrath, essentially, is what the book of Revelations talks about. The Old Testament contains prophecies related to the nation of Israel, including its exile and restoration, which is kind of what I was quoting in the I think it was last podcast when I talked about the Canaanites. It's that kind of stuff. Minor Prophets. The Book of Minor Prophets contain numerous prophecies about the fate of nations, judgments, and future restoration. And then the End Time Prophecy, the establishment of God's eternal kingdom, final judgment day, all of this stuff, resurrection of the dead. This is when Jesus comes back, right? So it's interesting that, you know, you have a lot of these things, like obviously Jesus hasn't come back yet, as we're still all here. Or maybe we're living in the Matrix, who knows? But as we are all still here existing, as we know, there are a bunch of other prophecies, right? So how is it that this was written by man? And you're telling me man knew how to tell the future of what would happen in the... I mean, I just find it very... It's very far-fetched to actually sit here and really believe that. Like I said, Jesus can be... Jesus was a real person. Despite Islam, as well as Judaism having disdain for Jesus, they still said, listen, Jesus was here. I mean, we don't view him as the Messiah, but Jesus existed. He was here, right? So people that say Jesus wasn't even here, they just don't know what they're talking... These are all people that don't know what they're talking about. They're just kind of making things up as they go along, which is very unfortunate because it's... If you really read... Because I haven't been sitting here reading. I've been Googling a lot of stuff. I've been talking to friends that I have. They'll show me certain Bible verses. I haven't been like sitting here reading through the Bible, right? Imagine you confront all of these. There's tons of these atheists. They have all these arguments, right? None of them read the book. I mean, I have people that tell me, oh, well, this, I read the book. And I'm like, oh, you did? And then they'll come out with something as ridiculous as to say, like I said, it was written by humans. And I said, okay, then how is it that you explain... How is it that you explain all the times in which these humans could tell the future? I found that very odd. Like, how do you explain that? To me, that is supernatural, right? That's something that you can't explain. That's beyond our comprehension that people could tell the future to that extent, that specifically, you know, especially about the Messiah. It's very odd. And that was a book that's followed by the Jews, right? Like, Old Testament's followed by Christians and Jews, but that book talks about the Messiah coming to Nazareth, right? Or Bethlehem, being born in Bethlehem in Judah. And the Jews don't even agree with that, you know? But, like, that was their book, essentially. So, I don't know. I find it, you know, I have friends that say, how is it that you convert people? I don't convert anybody. Everyone gets annoyed with me when I talk about anything pretty much ever. I'm not good at convincing anyone because I'm not nice about it. I don't have a good way to manipulate people into anything. Unfortunately, so it doesn't really help me. It doesn't help me with the ladies either, because I'm kind of just abrupt. I just say things like I'm autistic. But let me go back to my screen here. But how is it that you convince people? And I'll simply just say, if you look at the way the world is going right now, the way things are moving, and it's obvious who the enemy is, and the enemy is Christianity. The United States, culturally and nationally, needs a Christian revolution. Truthfully, that's actually what we need in this country. I would even take a religious revolution, period, full stop, over anything, but I would take, obviously, Christianity above all the others. But I'm just saying, we need an actual revolution, and it needs to start with faith. We need a faith-based revolution. Because to me, it's very obvious that people would much rather over-prescribe medications. They'd rather not deal with their problems. They'd rather be degenerates than deal with anything. They'd rather run up credit card debt. There's just a lot of things that are being done. The way in which the media has been moving and pop culture has been moving with the tranny shit, the faggot shit, all that stuff, right? I don't hate any of these people either, just so you folks know. I just say tranny and faggot. I say all these things because I'm not really allowed to, right? Like, it's supposed to be taboo. We're not allowed to say these things. And since I'm on a free platform, since I'm on Rumble, I just have my regular audio podcast. I no longer do anything on YouTube. What do I care at this point, right? These are things I'm not allowed to say, but I used to be able to say them, you know, 10 years ago, but now suddenly it's a problem. So I'm kind of just like, I don't really care. I'm just going to say it, right? The way that things are moving are so against some of our foundational principles as a country and as a culture, and everybody that is moving in. I don't have a problem with immigration, right? My problem with immigration is when it actually affects Americans in a negative capacity, which it currently is. Modern America is currently being negatively affected, whether it is legal or illegal immigration, we are being negatively affected right now. You could see the numbers. So I think the approach that America should take, just like every other country, just like Japan, is very difficult to get any type of... I'm pretty sure you have to be Japanese to become a Japanese citizen. Like, you have to have it in their ethnicity. You have to have it in your blood. You also have to live there for like 5 years, have a job there for 5 years. There's tons of rules behind it, right? You go to the Middle East, you are a white guy like myself. I mean, I'm a little dark for what I look like, but I am a white guy. Like, I don't look like those people. They're dark. They're like another tint darker than me. If I go there, I am not Arab. I am not like a citizen there. They will give me and another guy the same job. They will pay me half of what they pay that other guy. And we can have the same capacity and competency. It does not matter, right? People protect other countries, other cultures. They protect the people that live in their country, right? They have a nationalistic approach. America no longer has any of that. America does not protect American citizens. They don't care for American citizens. What they currently are doing is America is stealing money from American citizens to send it all over the globe to attempt to implement a global regime that also will follow the same culture as Americans, the same pop culture. They want to spread this tranny shit. They want to spread the gay shit. They want to spread all of it. They want to spread the virtue signaling, people being butthurt, people being victims all the time, no matter what. People taking offense to everything that's said to them and attempting to get people fired over it. They want to take that everywhere. They want to take it international. It's not just it's not a national agenda. It is a global agenda at this point in the United States. And that's what they're doing through our tax dollars. That's what they're funding. They want that to happen so badly. And that's why I say, I don't think money actually really matters much to these people. I think money is just a tool for them to implement what they want. And like I said, it's one global regime. I could even sit here and I could put my tinfoil hat on and say, all these wars are related to one thing. They want the wars to end. What they'll say is the wars are going to get so bad that they're going to say, we need to implement a globalist regime of a giant treaty of just like tons of... all of us are connected into one, or we have like two or three different countries, right? Just to keep everybody at bay, to keep everybody happy with each other, so everyone's civil. And then we'll implement this globalist top-down regime. Well, you as an individual, you have no power. You have no rights. And I think that's kind of the way that things are heading in right now. That's what it seems to me. But hey, I can be wrong. I'm an optimist, but I'm also a pessimist with a lot of this stuff. Because in reality, you can go live off-grid somewhere in the Midwest, in the United States, try to live off the land, and that would be your best backup plan in reality. Because then they don't want to bother you. And they're not going to try to kill some. It's a waste of their resources. But yeah, the United States, they don't really necessarily care for you. They don't care for me. They don't care about U.S. citizens. That is not their first priority. Their priority is to get a bunch of people from outside the country to come in, and they're trying to change the culture. And I would talk about this multiculturalism being a problem. The problem is not having people from a bunch of different countries come to the United States. The problem is, this is why multiculturalism is a problem. People from all these other countries come to the United States, and we are fine with them bringing their food, bringing some of their customs here, right? But we are not okay with them not assimilating to American values, American culture. That is really the problem. They keep their culture, they keep everything the same, and they just pick up and they come here. And then we as a country of 330 million people, now we have to adjust to them. That is really what the problem is. When my great-grandparents got off the boat, they had to adjust to American culture, American values. They not every single pamphlet was read to them in Italian. They had to learn the language, or they had to get an American job. It wasn't like this. It wasn't like they came here and just got government fucking payouts like everybody else is coming here and getting currently. That's what's transpiring now, today. And, you know, this Joe Biden fucking, holy shit, his 15-minute address, to be honest, to begin with, supposed to start at 8:30, right? Or 8 o'clock, I'm sorry. 8 o'clock went from 8 to 8:15. It started at 8 o'clock on the dot, which to me means this may have been recorded, okay? This may have been recorded, may not have been live. I'm pretty sure if I had to sit here and I had to put my money on it, I would say it was not live. I could be wrong. That's the first thing. Second thing is we're using this weird neocon statement again. Strength. America shows strength through power, or they show What is the word that Nikki Haley and Mike Pence used? Something through strength. I can't remember the way they said it, but they pretty much said, we're fighting a war. This is what Joe Biden pretty much said. We're fighting a war in Israel and Ukraine because we don't want the war here. Did the same thing that we did with Iraq, which is amazing. That still somehow pertains, and he can pull that one off, to me, is astounding. It's the same statement. It's the same statement that Mike Pence gave. It's the same statement that Nikki Haley gave, is you need to have a strong... And it wasn't the Trump objective. In Nikki Haley's case, as well as Mike Pence's case, they want war. And they want war to show American strength. And they think that American strength in war then makes everybody peace. Oh, he says it's peace through power or something like that. Or peace through strength is the statement I think Mike Pence stated, right? Now, there's ways in which you can display that strength. That's why they use the word strength and they don't use the word war. Because really, when they say it, they mean war. When Trump would say it, when Trump did it himself, he didn't mean war. He meant there's almost, at the end of the day, nowadays, there's very few reasons to actually have troops on the ground. If it's a direct action mission, that's a totally different story. If you're killing this Soleimani guy, that might be a totally different story. If you're killing Bin Laden and you have to raid his compound to kill him, that's a different story. That's a direct action mission. You have to guarantee that the guy is killed, that he didn't jump into an underground bunker when you bombed it, right? But nowadays, generally, you could do most of your work from the air via drone strikes. In reality, that's just the way it is. So you don't really need to send troops in anywhere anymore. Unless if we're at like a full-scale war. The point is if somebody's pushing up on land, like Trump did when he was president, I believe he killed a bunch of Russian soldiers that were pushing up on Ukraine when he was president. This did not get like any coverage from the media. Why did it not get coverage from the media? It didn't get coverage because then it goes against the Russian collusion hoax that he's in Russian's pocket and he's a foreign agent for Russia, which is such a fucking wild statement to make. Some guy that's... I mean, if you look at him and try to find pictures of him in Russia, you like can't even find anything. The guy went to China much more than he went to Russia because Russia doesn't have a strong economy. Pointing at Russia and actually worrying about what they do is Cold War political horseshit. It's just not real. Russia's economy is so small compared to the United States, especially, and compared to China. China is much stronger than Russia in terms of their GDP and their economy. We actually should be worried about China. We shouldn't really be much. There's not much to worry about China about Russia, right? And I recently saw a speech that Kim Jong-un went on. He was talking about how the United States is starting wars all over the world. This is so funny. I mean, you got the communist guy, this dictator over in North Korea, right? And he's claiming, listen, the United States is starting wars all over the world. Then at the very end of the speech, he goes, I endorse Donald Trump as the next president of the United States. And I don't know how real it is. I wish I had somebody that I knew in my life that was that could translate North Korean for me. There's probably not that many people in the United States that can... I can translate Korean in general, but I mean the guy's right. Like I said, Trump, his peace through strength, what he would do is he would throw drone strikes, he would threaten people, he would do whatever it is he had to do, but he wasn't sending troops all over the place to die, whereas in the or sending money all over the place too. Like the United States now, what they do is they send aid all over the place. And really what they're doing is they're just like stealing money from hardworking taxpayers. They're sending it all over the world. And really they're not. What it is, it's the laundering game, as I've said like a million times. They're just laundering, embezzling the funds to go to government officials' family members, or they're getting some sort of a cut from the defense industry. Lobbyists, these super PAC lobbyists that Vivek talks about all the time. You know, that's currently what's happening. And I don't know the answer, folks. I think that we'll see what ends up happening. See what happens this election. We'll see if they lock Trump up. Worst case scenario, they lock Trump up, Vivek loses, and then we have Ron DeSantis running. And then we kind of have ourselves in like a neocon situation. Although DeSantis also served in the military, so maybe he'll be an anti-war candidate, anti-war president. We'll see what happens. But I think that the media will push us into a war. if we get somebody that's not strong enough and doesn't have the backbone, the media will push us into a war, and they will push the hand of the president that is in office at that time just to get us into a war. And that's kind of what's happening right now, as you can see, because Joe Biden is just like an empty suit, and he was a disaster. He kind of stumbled over his words a little bit. He wasn't really coherent. He turned Fox News on. Fox News' Brit Hume is fucking praising Biden as one of his best speeches ever. I don't know what these people are watching. I think they're morally corrupted at Fox News at this point. I would say don't even watch that outlet. I just happened to be watching the speech, so it was on that outlet, and then I got the, you know, 15 minutes afterwards, them giving their political analysis of how effective of a speech it was. But yeah, I truthfully don't know. Like I said, I hope this Israel stuff, I think a lot of this Israel stuff is to throw you off the scent of things that are happening in the United States and the real news. And that's why we're talking about it back and forth over and over again. I've been watching Piers Morgan. He has some people on from the Islamic faith, and then he has Ben Shapiro on, and then, you know, it just goes back and forth. And the Islamic faith, the guys of the Islamic faith mostly are saying, hey, a lot of this news that's coming out is propaganda. There's nothing really to assert the claims other than eyewitnesses, I guess, or media outlets that are faulty, which is hard. It's like every single killing or beheading or whatever, are you going to have to get that on camera in order to prove it happened? You know, but then at the same time, by the way, the hospital that got shot down, it was an Israeli missile. That's not the case. It was a missile from Palestine. And what happened was they probably make their own missiles. They make their own explosives, and they're probably training themselves. They don't have real military training. So they shot the rocket and they shorted it. It either was shorted or it was a malfunction on the rocket's behalf. And it hit a Christian hospital, by the way. Just so everyone knows, Christian hospital, out of all things to hit. And like I said, I've seen Jews spitting on Christians in Israel. I saw them harassing the shit out of a woman. Like last week, I was watching a video of them doing that as well. They were harassing a woman. Some kids were like trying to kick her and shit. It's very, very odd. And adult men are not trying to stop the kids from doing so. So like I said, you know, these Arab Jews are totally different from American Jews. I've tried to like point this out. I don't think people really understand that these aren't the same people. These aren't the same, I'm ethnically Jewish isn't the same as like actually being religious Jewish, actually following the Talmud, hating Christian people. You know, it's just not the same. So that'll conclude this one, folks. I don't really have anything else to say. I'm hoping next week we actually get some news. I would like to try out this multi-screen thing. It looks like I kind of have it down. Last show I didn't have the full screen, but from what it looks like now, I have the full screen because I toggled with the with it a little bit. So this will be interesting to see how this turns out. But that's it. That's it, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Everybody have a great weekend, and I will see you all next week. Thank you.